Blog Talk Radio.
Don't wake me, I'm dreaming.
Like in middle of August, middle of the NFL preseason, taking a glimpse of the Buccaneers and Jaguars. This just in, Blake Bortles still sucks. But anyway, welcome to the Clown Hour. This is your host, Scott Burks. I'm the creator of a sports blog called The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with K. You find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you also find me on Facebook. Have a little fun right now on Facebook. Just posted a new rant today on Hugh Jackson. Just check it out there, and also check other stuff out, like the funny memes and interaction with fans. Okay, you find me there as well. Even though we're in the midst of the NFL preseason, there's one season that's right around the corner. That's glory. So, to help me do that, we got two guys, two Twitter buddies of mine from the All Sports Discussion ACC Sports Blog, Matt Barton right now, and Jeff Pham hopefully will be joining us. He's trying to get that money from his job. But anyway, welcome, Matt. It's been a little while. How are you, sir?
It's been a while, man. How you doing?
I'm fair for a square. Storming, there's like rain casting dogs here, trying to, as if it's like the Ten Commandments all over again, with the rainstorm and everything. But, hope all is well in your hood, man, and Virginia as well. So, good to be speaking with you again. Let's talk ACC football, shall we? And the wonderful,
absolutely,
glorious year it had in 2016. It was like people were saying when the year that Florida State won it in 2013, that was one of the best ACC football seasons, because, you had at one point, I think, three teams in the top 10. Miami had a hot start before they fell off the wagon, as well as Clemson and Florida State, the eventual national champion. But I say this past year takes the cake in a big way, because the Clemson slaying the Alabama Dragon, the ACC teams went 9-3 and counted the conference, count the national championship game, is 9-3 in bowl games. And I know that people like to poop bowl games as exhibition, but we had a great record against the SEC. Have in front of me right now, a great record against the SEC, even better record against the Big Ten. Two conferences that the ACC is constantly like compared against for territory and financial reasons. And it's just amazing to see how the narrative has changed in a less than 3 or 4 year period, where the ACC was considered to be one of the worst college football conferences, along with the then Big East Conference, and now and even with the Big Ten, the Big Ten is lenient as well, but now the ACC is the football conference king of 2016 heading into this season. They're crowing. I don't know if you could tell from the car wash at ESPN that they had, led by one Dabo Sweeney and Jimbo Fisher, just crowing about the success of the ACC, as well they should. We went 9-3, in our bowl games. We had winning records against the SEC in consecutive years, so the first time in God knows how long, and even a better record against the Big Ten. So, basically,
absolutely. You know what I wanted to say there, bro, is that I mean, a lot of that comes with the quarterback position, right? I mean, you had Deshaun Watson at Clemson last year. You had Brad Kaye at Miami. You had Lamar Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner at Louisville. You had Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. You had DeAndre Francois at Florida Tech. I'm not done yet, right? You had Nathan Peterman, who's pretty decent at Pittsburgh. Eric Dungy at Syracuse. I didn't even mention my guy at Virginia Tech, who, right, Gerard Evans, who played, you know, he was ranked by Athlon as 11th best quarterback in the league and certainly found his way in the top four at the end of the year, right? You had Jalen McClendon at NC State. I mean, you know, and then, you know, Finley came in later, you know, at your guys at NC State. I mean, this was a very good quarterback class, right? I mean, and Duke, right? Daniel Jones. I mean, you had
literally had
11, 12 quarterbacks that, you know, I didn't say Matt Johns, right, at UVA, but you had 11, 12, 11 quarterbacks in this league that could play the position, and I think that had everything to do with the ACC's production last year.
Exactly. And plus, it also helps that now, you know, you have defenses. It's going to be the call of the day. You know, going to be the calling card. Not to jump so far for a minute, but basically, you know, NC State has arguably the best front seven in all of college football. I'm not making this up with the guys that got coming back, the Chubb kid and everybody else. As far as well, Clemson has a great front seven as well coming back. And we hadn't even looked at Boston College, who is traditionally strong on defense, too bad they don't have an offense to supplement that. But Florida State has a lot of talent coming back on defense. And, you know, you look at, you know, the Coastal. I mean, Vitek, your boy is always strong on defense, thanks to Bud Foster. I mean, it's going
about that, though? And you're bringing up good points about the defense. I mean, Jeff, you know, my buddy here, right, talking ACC Sports, you can follow him on Twitter. He did some rankings, right, of the defensive line, right? And did some rankings of the cornerbacks and the linebackers. And, you know, so let's throw out his top five, right, for the defensive line, right? He had Dexter Lawrence on there from Clemson. He had Christian Wilkins on there from Clemson. He had Harold Landry on there from BC. Bradley Chubb from NC State. And Derek Nnadi from Florida State. Well, I asked him, I said, wait a second, where's Tim Settle? You're right, from Virginia Tech, because I know you know him. You're a college football fan, right? And you know, and then he says to me, "Yeah, guys like Settle, Josh Sweat, and Clelin Ferrell, right? It's like, you know, it's a very parallel to what the ACC was in QBs last year. There is so much talent on the defensive line in the ACC year. It's just sick. I mean, you look at the cornerbacks, right? And as you talked, you talked about Virginia Tech, right? This is the calling card, of course, from Virginia Tech, but." He mentioned Tavarius McFadden, Jari Alexander from Louisville. I'm sorry, McFadden is with Florida State. MJ Stewart from North Carolina. Brandon Faison with Virginia Tech. But they also have Greg Stroman, right? And you know, I mean, it's really and Lance Austin and Georgia Tech. I mean, again, it's just a terrific set of cornerbacks and the linebackers in this league, bro. Think of the Commonwealth, right? Because two of the best linebackers in the league, in the ACC and in the United States, are playing at Virginia Tech this year, right? Tremaine Edmonds and Andrew Matuapuaka. You know, so I mean, it's just just touching on your point. I'll give you back the air here. The defenses are just crazy this year in the ACC.
Yeah, exactly, and it's going to be. It's going to be really interesting. I'm going to bounce back for like for a minute. We mentioned the quarterbacks. Just imagine these defense, especially in the case of Miami. Can you imagine if Brad Kaye stayed for a senior season? They'd be exactly. And I'll get to your guy in a minute because that baffled me, but his decision. But to say, if Brad Kaye stayed at Miami, if your boy Gerard Evans did get brain dead and stayed at Vitek for next year, with the defense y'all have, and yes, I understand, like, Deshaun Watson leaving early because he graduated early. I get that. But if you had those two guys who stayed, both of those teams would be top 10 teams, especially Miami, with all they have coming back on defense, with the running game still intact, with the weapons on the out, on the perimeter. But even
I think they could be favored
to
win
all
the
of that,
ACC if they came back. If Brad Kaya came back, they might be favored to win the ACC.
Exactly. Oh, no question about it. And it wouldn't even be close, in my opinion. But even still, I think that this conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference, will duplicate your success because, again, they're strong defensively. A lot of teams are strong defensively. They still have the great coaching roster that they have. Dungy's back.
The quarterback stuff plays at Duke is back. Sure. I mean, I was going to say the quarterback's not dry here, right? Because you still have Jackson in Louisville. You still have DeAndre Francois at Florida State. You still have Dungy at Syracuse. You still have Daniel Jones at Duke. Ryan Finley's back at NC State. He had a good year last year, and I think, you know, having him come back at a second year, he's sick. You know, what is he? He's like 6'4". He's pretty good size. You know,
right?
He had over 3,000 yards passing last year. He completed 60% of his throws. You know, he was at 75% of his completions, right? I mean, he has the potential to have a really good year for NC State. I mean, I mentioned on the podcast before that I'm high on NC State. I know you're a State fan, man. I'm high on NC State breaking through in the Atlantic Division. Maybe, you know, I'm not at the top, but they have a chance to pull an upset or two in that division. And I think that I think this is Doreen's best team. Yes, you're right. It's been a while.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Dave Doran, this is his full recruiting class coming to fruition. And the one thing that makes me nervous about my beloved Wolfpack is that one word, expectation. Whenever we have expectations, it's the same in basketball. Whenever we have expectations in sports for any of our majors, of our big sports, we flounder. That's just the way it's been since Val Vano. Every time we had, keep in mind, that team that won in '83, NCAA championship, college basketball championship, did not have expectations. As soon as we had expectations, from that point, the next season going forward, it's football, basketball, it's that curse, man. We flounder. I mean, we floundered under the football coach, like Coach Phillip Rivers. He escapes my head. I called his name out the other day, too, and discussed, but at any rate, he had expectations for that season as well. You know, like we lost that game, we should have won against Ohio State. When we inexplicably took knee after knee after knee, we were at the goal line, played for overtime instead of playing for the win. And Chuck D'Amato. And, you know, his teams are undisciplined, very talented, crazy talented, but wildly undisciplined. And now you have Dave Doran coming in. Hell, we should have beaten Clemson last year.
You just find a damn kicker.
The ACC out of the playoff. Exactly. We would have been an 8-1 ACC team that kept us out of the playoff. And we would have been hated for that.
That was a kicker.
So
I mean,
then
the kicker
then
just, did just, like, did you in.
Exactly.
I remember that game. That, you should have had that game.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
And that's just the thing. Too. I mean, it's like you can't win a national title sometimes without having a few lucky breaks go your way, and that just happened for Clemson that day.
Oh, God, that was beyond love. That was just divine. Any trial tribulation along the way, but I'm just afraid of kind of NC State because, and we'll get to our prediction shortly. But
sure.
I think if NC State finishes less than third in the division, the Atlantic Division, it'll be a huge disappointment. I think they're better than Louisville this year. I think they'll challenge Clemson because Clemson comes to our place this year.
Yes.
Florida State's a little different story, but Florida State has no offensive line to save its life. So we can – the schedule outside of conference play is not daunting at all. I mean, sure, we got a trip to Notre Dame this season, which I'll be there. By the way,
and they're going to be better too. Let's be fair.
And they're
going to
be good. I think Notre Dame is going to be very good this year. And
yeah,
outside of that, I mean, I mean, sure. I mean, I think we get ECU this year. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. But even still, if we do not finish a third place or higher, it will be a huge disappointment in my book. Why I'm just afraid of crying them because, you know, it's expectations, man. We can't do expectations for some reason. And speaking of expectations, it's a good segue here. I was going to ask you, who has the biggest expectations given what's going on in the league? You got Miami has the defense coming back, year two under Mark Red. Everybody in the mama's crowning them in the Coastal Division for the first time for Miami to go to the conference championship game since joining the ACC, if you can believe that. And people are talking about Florida State with all that talent coming back. Now a lot of people are talking about Clemson because of the quarterback situation. You know, we still think they're going to be very good. So who do you think, which ACC team do you think has the biggest expectations weighing
on? Well, Florida State, no question, has the biggest expectations because they're picked,
yes,
you know, high in several polls. They're picked above Alabama, right? So they clearly come in the season with the biggest target on their back in the ACC. And I think you have to look at Clemson because they're the defending champion. And then certainly I think you have to look at Miami because, you know, as you said, they're picked by the media to win the Coastal Division. I feel like myself, Scott, that they're on a – it was a very good hire by Miami to bring in Mark.
Oh,
I think it was ridiculous of Georgia to let him go. You know, the fact that he's got them on an upward trajectory, getting good players in the door, coaching them well. He brought in a good defensive coordinator in Diaz. And I just think that, you know, I think that they certainly have the – now, granted, they got a new quarterback coming in, like you said. Kaya's gone.
Yeah.
Right. But they have the most coming back. They have a terrific running back. They have a terrific running back, although I understand he may have just got – I missed some reports on this, but it sounds like he got hurt in practice. It sounds like Mark Walton may have got hurt in practice. I don't know about
– right.
I don't know about how severe the injury is, but – you know, but they have a good, you know, they have pretty much a lot of returning starters on that team. So they rightfully should be picked, you know, probably to be the favorite in the Coastal Division. But I'm not, you know what, I'm like Ralph Russo, right, from the Associated Press, right? I'm very reluctant to pick somebody who hasn't won the division. You know, so, but we'll see. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, and a lot of teams in the Coastal Division have their question marks, right? I mean, Virginia Tech has to replace a lot of skill players, right? I mean, you have a new quarterback. I think they made a good selection for the starting quarterback in Josh Jackson, and I think he's going to do very well. And they have the QB whisperer there and coach and plenty, right? Georgia Tech has a lot of returning people on there, and they may be a dark horse at the Coastal, but they got to make sure that their quarterback, right, Matthew Jordan, can be a consistent passer here and there. I do think Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's an interesting situation, but they have to get their defense all set up so they can actually do some pass defense once in a while. I think Duke may actually be in a position where they have the best they probably have the best quarterback right now in the Coastal, Duke, and Daniel Jones.
They do. I think they do. That kid was very good as a true freshman last year. So the sky's the limit for that kid. And plus, we all know that Dave Cutcliffe is, you know, in addition to being, like, divine for Duke, I mean, such a godsend for Duke football, in turn for ACC football as well. He is also the ultimate quarterback whisperer. Ask the Mannings.
Yes.
You know, ask the Manning brothers. So, I mean, the thing is that I think that kid that is starting, I guess he's a true sophomore now. Duke is going to be better, I think, than people think. And they have a favorable schedule. Baylor's coming to Durham this year, which should be a very interesting game. And they play Northwestern this year. I know they play. I think they do play Baylor. Do they? I forgot they played Northwestern.
Yeah, you know they play Baylor at home, and they have Northwestern at home too.
Okay, wow, both of those games at home.
Yeah, both of those are at home.
Wow, this should be interesting. If they come out of those two games, because both it's hard to predict how Baylor's going to be, but I think Northwestern just has a decent squad. If they could come out there 2-0, win both those games, and of course they're going to beat NC Central to start the year. If they come out the non-conference, that part of the non-conference schedule with all three wins, look the hell out.
It's going to be interesting because right after that they play at North Carolina. And, I like the coaching matchup between Duke and North Carolina. I will take Duke, the Duke coach, versus Fedora any day of the week, you know?
Me too.
I mean, I just like that matchup. Then they have Miami at home, and I that is actually an evening game on ESPN. That's why I mentioned that. I mean, it's a big national game. It's a big that Duke gets to host a national game at home, but and the reason I'm talking about this, right, Scott, is because I was going to blog about this. Duke just raised $340 million over 7 years for its athletic program.
Mm. And we did the stadium, too. They finished with the stadium.
$340 million. And it was originally a $250 million goal. I mean, they raised, like, $3.25 billion for their – that's just amazing to me – but $3.25 billion for their overall university endowment, and $340 was earmarked for athletics. And I just see them, you know, slowly finding themselves into a situation where they're a perennial top 25 program.
Mm. Terry, David Cutcliffe, he's pound for pound the best coach in college football, doing what he's doing at Duke. With the limited, I mean, granted, Duke has more resources now, especially with the ACC network along, you know, like that's coming down the pipe. But to Duke, but compared against his other fellow competitors, like in a conference, it's a small private school. And to do what he's been able to do over the last, six, 7 years he's been there, he's slowly building up the profile of the football program. It's nothing short of amazing. I'll come on and say it. He's the best coach in college football for what he's done at Duke. He's the best. Duke should be pretty. They should be sacrificing chickens and thanks for this for having him there. And thank you guys as well.
Let me just say something quickly about Georgia Tech. You know, I mentioned that they were dark horse earlier. If they can get some way. Somewhat. I mean, I know you don't pass the ball a whole lot in the Georgia Tech offense, but you have to pass once in a while to keep somebody honest. And if Matthew Jordan can do that, Georgia Tech could be a dark horse in the Coastal Division. You know, so I mean, this is a year, Scott, where I think the Coastal Division is going to be really competitive all year long, but it's not going to be because there's bad football. There are some good football teams and good football coaches in the Coastal Division. It's another reason. I know we were talking about the strength of the ACC last year. Well, yeah, the ACC was very good last year because there are very good coaches in this league.
Right. Right. It bears repeating. It definitely bears repeating.
So basically though, I'm basically looking probably right now today to say Miami and Florida State will be the ACC title, and I'm probably picking Florida State to win the ACC title. I mean, it's hard for me not to do that.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, and I know we're jumping around here, but we might as well skip to it. I've been going back and forth between Florida State and Clemson to represent the Atlantic. I mean, hell, it's been that way, like, for the past 7-8 years, but –
sure.
I mean, the thing is Florida State has better talent offensively. They're just as talented as Clemson is defensively. There's this one thing that sticks into my craw. They don't have an offensive line. They're not good in the trenches on offense. That's what did them in last year. And you remember when the first game against Ole Miss, even though they came back to win it, they were getting beat up front by Ole Miss, man, before Ole Miss got worn out. And DeAndre Francois, he took a beating in the first half because that offensive line I mean, hell, I mean, just imagine how much better Dalvin Cook would have been if the offensive line was worth a damn. You know, he did his work behind a terrible offensive line. And they got
I think what would be interesting there would be to see if, because I've had a couple friends out there pick Miami to win the ACC, and that's not out of the question either. But
right.
I'm reluctant to pick somebody to win the ACC who hasn't even won their division yet. You gotta do one to get to the other, you know. So, you know, I'm not quite there with that yet.
I tell you what though, Florida State has a tough. If they could, I got them losing to Alabama week one because I think Alabama's a lot better in the trenches than they are, and that'll be the difference.
Okay.
If they do beat Alabama, it's going to be one magical ride for Florida State. It's going to be. They go to Clemson, okay. Miami comes to town shortly in the first month of the year. They also come to outplay for NC State. So it's going to be an interesting September for Florida State. If Florida State comes out there with just one loss, then they're probably going to go to the conference title game because I think.
Not only that, but the college football playoff, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Because they got the schedule. One thing, just two things that got over Clemson. A, that more times offensively, and B, they'll have a tougher schedule. And if they come out of there with just one loss, and I think that they could beat Clemson at their value this year, I really do. Then they could really make some noise across the playoff. I mean, they can't deny it. But I'm just thinking about Miami, man, because I picked Miami twice before they won the Coastal. I've been burnt both times.
But you know what? Here's what I think with Miami, right? Because Miami goes to Florida State. They've got a new quarterback coming into Doak Campbell. I don't see that working out well. Now, I've had some friends say that Miami's going to win that. That's not going to go well at all. But I think it could be an aggressive game for Florida State, who plays NC State at home the following week. And like you said, you mentioned it well, NC State has a very good defensive line. And they could wreak some havoc. It could cause some problems for Florida State, some deep problems for Florida State. And we haven't really talked about Wake a whole lot on this podcast, Scott. But Wake is what their coach has done there, Clausen. Dave Clausen has been nothing short of remarkable.
Exactly.
You know,
totally agree.
I mean, if they had an offense, which they don't, but if they had an offense, Florida State would be a little scared. I mean, because the defense that Wake has, it's pretty good.
Yes, very damn good. They equipped themselves actually in the bowl game against Temple. You know, Temple was the conference, the American Athletic Conference champion, if I can recall, and Wake just slapped them around.
They played Temple, and I
agree. I mean, Dave Clausen, he's done a hell of a job at Wake last year. And I think he's going to do good part on this because he has a lot of those guys coming back. But speaking of Wake, remember WikiLeaks? Remember the whole thing that fallout from that? I'm starting to like this thing between Louisville and Wake Forest. That's trying
to
be a
deep-seated
rivalry.
It's been funny.
It turns into some trash talking. It turns into, you know, Lamar Jackson saying that Clausen disrespected him. There's a lot of bad blood that's building up now. They'll be playing Winston-Salem this year. That's going to be fun. But one thing, I'm worried about Louisville, though, because I think that Louisville lost a lot of time around Lamar Jackson, and Jackson also tailed off like the last two games of the season. It seemed like remember when Louisville barely lost to Clemson on national TV?
And then their stock market just fell out after that.
Yes, it did. It's like they expected Louisville, for some reason, expected to be in the top four in the college football player rankings that week. And they were like number five, and they were all the spotted and crap. And I think they were like six, I think. But At any rate, then they just laid an egg at Houston and never recovered. So I don't know what to expect from this year, but I do expect a bit of a drop-off. Because, again, they lost a lot of players. Like the Cardinals lost a lot of players both sides of the ball. And, you know, if the offensive line ain't better, I mean, it's just about as bad as Florida State was last year. If the old line is not better for Lamar Jackson, it's going to be they're staring right at 8-4, 7-5. You know, if things don't get better soon for them.
Well, I mean, they start out, I think they'll win their first two, right, because they play Purdue and North Carolina. They're both, you know, the Purdue game is a national TV game, right? It's on Fox. I think they're going to just drill
right.
Purdue. Then they go to North Carolina. I think they're going to beat North Carolina, too, because North Carolina, I'm sorry, I've seen better run defenses run through a butter churner than North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, so, right? You know, and then they get, but then they go to Clemson, then they have Clemson at home. And I actually think they can beat Clemson at home. You know, so I think what's interesting for me, Scott, is like that middle of the season, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth game of the season, they play at NC State. That is a nationally televised 8 p.m. game. I hope you should be going to that game, Scott. If you should be making that haul to Raleigh and going.
Dude,
to the
I think I can make that 8-hour trip. I think I made that 8-hour trip from Cincinnati. To...
You should go there and have. The barbecue at the pit.
Hell yeah, I miss that place.
I mean, because that is, I think that's going to be a hell of a game. And to me, if you look at NC State and Louisville, it's become a rivalry in football and men's basketball. For some reason, it seems like that's a growing rivalry in the ACC to me.
Interesting. I see it on the basketball court, definitely, between Louisville and NC State. It's like. I mean, just, I guess, the way that Louisville just blew the doors off NC State last year. So, I mean, why do you think it's become a rival on the football field?
I can just feel the friction between the fan bases on Twitter. It's a barometer to me, I guess. I can feel the friction, you know, because I watch all the ACC teams, right, from our sports discussion, ACC.
Right.
Twitter account, and I can just feel the friction between the two teams. I don't know. The fan base. I don't know. For some reason, I just feel it. I don't know. For some reason.
Right. So,
and that's going to be a hell of a game. That's a nationally televised game on the 5th, and it's the primetime game on ESPN.
Well, let's put it this way. I think both teams should be. I mean, I think Louisville's going to fall off just a little bit, but I think NC State should be a lot better. But I have a feeling maybe the other way around, given NC State's system of expectations. But let me ask you this. I didn't get to ask you this earlier about this while we were talking not too long ago. Thinking about teams that are going to be on the rebound, like we talked about Duke earlier, right, with the sophomore quarterback, a year under Dave Cutcliffe's tutelage. I'm thinking about Syracuse as well. I mean, Eric Dungy's second year in Dino Babers' system. I think Dino Babers is a hell of a coach as well. He's a great motivator.
Yes, he is.
And I think Syracuse is going to be better sooner rather than later. People should sleep on them, but I think Syracuse. It would surprise me if Syracuse is a bowl team this year, given the schedule.
I wouldn't be surprised either. But here's my thing. Right? For some reason. They have LSU on their schedule. They have to go to LSU this year, Syracuse, right?
Right.
I mean, this is a tough schedule, right? For Middle Tennessee State is not an easy mid-major team to play. Neither is Central Michigan. These are tough games. Those are tough games, right? They also have Miami, right, from the Coastal. They also have Pittsburgh from the Coastal. You know, this is a pretty tough schedule for Syracuse. And my thing with Syracuse is that, like, you know, you don't want to say it, but Syracuse has a ceiling because of the side of the ACC that they're in.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm saying, kind of? You know, I think it's no knock on Dano Beers because I think he's doing a good job. But we're sitting in a situation where you've got Wake, you've got Florida State, and you get Clemson all on your side of the division, and you have to play an NC State team that's pretty damn good, that's probably had the best team, as you said, these are all his players, Dave D's players there, and you have Miami on the schedule. You know, I mean, it's just a, you know, and you've got the non-conference game against LSU. I mean, it's a tough row to hoe, as they say in farming country in North Dakota.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's a tough road to hoe.
Right. I just think, you know, it's one of those things where the team is going to be better, but it won't reflect in a record.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, and I think they have a good chance. I think you can make a case for multiple. You could make a case for multiple teams in the ACC to be in bowl, Scott. And
right.
You could make a case. You know, I think the only one you may leave out would be, you know, the loser probably of that Syracuse in the Wake game, and for sure you're gonna, you know, leave UVA out. You know, but
right.
You can make a case for multiple teams to have bowls this year. I just don't think North Carolina is going to.
I don't think so either. I think they'll be probably a 5-win team, like I subscribe to Athlon and the ACC Journal. And, either of them have them as a bowl team. But another team that I'm thinking about is Pitt. I know that Max Brown is, the transfer to USC is going to start.
Yes.
But they lost so many people. I mean, they got some people to come back on offense. But can they stop anybody on defense? That's $1 million question.
No,
I don't know how they're going to do this year.
It may be difficult, and it's like, but see, here's the thing with them, right, Scott? They got no Louisville. They got no Florida State. They got no Clemson on their schedule. Okay.
Right.
Now, granted, if they don't show off on September 6th versus Youngstown State, that could be interesting because, you know, if you recall, Youngstown State was in the national title game last year against JMU.
Right.
And they got a lot of players back. I mean, and Bo Pelini is a good coach.
Yes, he is.
And they're playing at Penn State, and they've got Oklahoma State at home. So they really come out. And I think people are underestimating that Youngstown State team. I mean, they can't be looking ahead to Penn State, or they could find themselves happening what North Dakota State did to Iowa State and to several other teams to Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting thing for them. I mean, I think that Pitt is a ball team. You know, I think they may. They could equal their record from last year. They could be 8-4. They may not be as good as they were last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see them going anywhere from 6-6 to 9-3. But here's the thing. I think that they'll be consistent. And for Pitt fans, that's probably a good sign because they've had their coach now for a couple of years, right? And it's they're in a situation where they're winning the games that they're really supposed to win. And to take the next step as a program, you got to start beating some bigger opponents than they did last year when they beat Penn State and Clemson.
Right. And that's the thing. But I guess I'm a little worried. I think Pitt's going to get the asses kicked against Penn State. I'm just going to come out and say it. All right. I don't think it's going to be a game at all because Penn State is going to be hella good. They're probably pissed off from last year's results. But I'll close on this. I'll get you on here on this. We talked earlier about the ACC's success against the SEC for the past few seasons, three seasons and counting. This year, it's the first 2 weeks of the season is the ultimate barometer test between both conferences. I mean, you got the aforementioned Alabama, Florida State, and you have Tennessee versus Georgia Tech, which I think is going to be a very intriguing matchup. Then the following week, we're going to have Auburn at Clemson, which I think is going to be.
Hey, wait! You're forgetting something here from the prior week, right? The reunite there, the Black Diamond Trophy. Virginia Tech takes on West Virginia.
That's right, with the Big 12. Yeah, that's the little ACC Big 12.
I mean, that's going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty. North Carolina State takes on South Carolina. I mean, that's going to be.
Right.
You know, that first week is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got a lot going on that first week, and I actually think, I think FSU is going to beat Alabama, and I think that Virginia Tech is going to beat West Virginia,
and I actually think,
there were some jokes. You know, I think Virginia Tech's going to win by 17 points over West Virginia. I think the Hokies are going to roll, and. Then you've got Georgia Tech playing Tennessee, like you said. And guess what? Georgia Tech beat Vandy. Only one of those teams beat Vandy last year. It was Georgia Tech. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that – and I really think NC State will beat South Carolina. So I think there's going to be some really good success that first week. Can North Carolina beat California at home? Maybe. You know why I say that, Scott? Because that – if you recall, the last time – California made a trip to the East Coast. Remember, they're getting up and playing a noon game at North Carolina. That's 9 a.m. back at home, and it's going to be humid as hell here on the East Coast.
That's right.
Sometimes,
yeah.
When they played Maryland, they didn't wake up until the second half. You know, and by then it was too late. Now, UVA had better show up when they play William and Mary. And we talked about Pitt playing Youngstown State because if you don't show up, those become interesting games in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that's so we got that first week is really underrated because there's some good matches coming in there. And, of course, you mentioned some other ones that were coming up, too. I mean, I really can't wait for football to start, as you can tell.
I know. Same here. I've been foaming at the mouth since the national championship game last season. So basically what you're saying is you think that the ACC will acquit itself well against the SEC and the Big 12 first 2 weeks of the season.
I think it's going to be a good year again for the ACC because the quarterbacks are there, the defensive talent is there, and the coaching is there, and I think it's going to be another good year for the ACC. I mean, a lot of people forget that the SEC had some new coaches last year. I think South Carolina could have done a lot better than Will Muschamp, and I think that Georgia made a less better hire than Miami. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
I'm being a little facetious there, but they got rid of the good coach and hired a different one. And you've got a lot of good coaches in the ACC, a lot of experience. Do you remember the night of the national championship when you had the Boston College coach on there, Ray D'Addario? You had Dino Babers on there. You had Dave Doran on there. And they were doing the film game for the Nationals. Oh, they had such good insight. And these are your coaches of the schools that were the mid-tier teams in the season. And I thought they were terrific, on that show. They all had just great insight. And so, that's why I think the ACC is going to have another good year this year. I mean, with the ACC network money coming in, you see schools trying to raise money for their programs and stuff like that. I mean, we're hoping that it can be sustainable because, like I said, I mean, the coaching in the ACC, I think, is at an all-time high. You know, it's very good.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that. So it's going to be fun, bro. It's going to be hella fun, but
let me ask you one quick question, then I'll answer it too. Who are your four playoff teams?
Shoot. All right, fine. I'll play along. Alabama, USC, Florida State, and Ohio State. What the hell? Ohio State. Where are yours?
I have almost the exact same thing with you, except I believe I'm going to pick Washington rather than USC.
That's not a bad pick at all.
You know, so I have the exact ones that you have, but I think I'm going to go with the Huskies.
All right, we'll definitely see about that.
Yeah,
just
so I
have
think
my
we're
comp,
pretty good about basketball
season
this week.
I will say,
USC's quarterback is just terrific. I mean, everybody likes him.
Yeah.
You know, and they have some deficiencies on defense at USC, but a good quarterback can mask a lot of deficiencies, right? I mean, so
yeah, that's right, brother.
You know, so it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year. And I'll close and I'll say that, or I think North Dakota State's going to be back on track again and win that FCS title after being out of it for a year and having five straight. Yeah, it's when the Bison's going to win it. So, hey, man, it was great to talk to you tonight. It was fun to talk.
You too, man. And tell your guys to buck up for James Madison this time around.
All right. Have a great week.
Take care, man.
Goodbye.
You too. That's my guy, Matt Warner, a.k.a. Hokie Smash. You can find him on Twitter. And I also find him on the All Sports Discussion, ACC Sports blog. Well, time for me to go to bed. But anyway, thank you all for tuning in. This is Scott Burks with Game with the Clown Hour. Signing out. 06 tonight.